Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I'm so tired today. I don't know what it is. It hit me.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I love that after 288 episodes, we still haven't changed the notes where it says, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. And then in brackets, it says, Ryan says hi.
you know what? It's just, it's this damn copy and paste. Like, if we were ever to, like, the notes just to be wiped, we would probably, that was the one thing that would probably survive the notes apocalypse, which is this intro. You joke when you don't have it in front of you that you can't remember it, but we all know. It's, like, burned into your retinas.
I probably could do it. I'm used to, like, reading it or at least, like, skimming it in a way that I'm not really reading, but just having it there. It's like a security blanket. It's like a comfort factor. So, yeah I can see how if it was just gone, I'm sure I could still remember what I've said almost 300 times now. But anyways,
I think that the listeners should write in and say, hey, here's your new intro, because honestly, we haven't changed it for 288 episodes.
Literally, so. This is the same intro we had. Mm-hmm. This survived the culling that was episode 2 after episode 1. So we did episode 1 and we leaned in hard on the inn theme and then literally cut everything out except for the very, very, very beginning. So
Yeah. Oh man, we used to do quick fire news. Why are we doing episode 300 right now? What's happening here?
I don't know. You had a couple of questions for me before we started the stream. So, yeah, I think we should probably dive in with some of that.
Okay, perfect. So, what was the first one? I didn't write it down.
Well, I know for sure you were asking me how late I was up playing PUBG.
Yes. Okay, I want to know, because like we were joking before the show that there are two podcasts out there that chronicle... I use the A word, like addiction, which is very strong and not at all like, you know, applicable in this scenario, but I'll use it anyway. Your addiction to Hearthstone and WoW. Again, she's not addicted, folks. She just plays them a lot. but your extreme,
fascination. Love of the titles.
Yeah. Yeah, love. Thank you. I don't know why I use fascination again. I'm a little off tonight. So your love of these titles. Now, PUBG. Or I don't think that's how it's pronounced. Battleground, Players Unknowns. You play it a lot. I found this out last week that you've played it a lot. So how late are you up playing this game?
Well, okay. So last night, because I play without fail on Sundays and Tuesdays because there's quite a lot of members of my raid team who are really, really into it. So usually we raid for a couple hours and then we use PUBG to kind of like... I would say unwind, but I definitely get more wound up because of the level of like stress and suspense that is in that game.
Yeah, I would say so.
Which I think is part of the problem because it makes me so anxious and like on the edge of my seat and like, oh my God, is that a person? Did I hear footsteps? Gunshots! You know, like it just, that whole thing makes it really hard for me to go to bed. So... last night we had somebody coming really, really early this morning at 9 a.m. to do some work on the house. So I knew that I had to basically break down everything in my studio, push it all into the corner, get that all done, get it out of the way because they needed the room I'm currently using as my studio and they were going to be ripping down ceiling tiles and stuff like that. So all of that to say, last night was an early night and I stopped playing PUBG around 2:30.
Early? That's late.
Usually somewhere between 3 and 4, and then I usually have to stay up another half an hour to an hour after that to let the adrenaline levels go down to the point that I can sleep.
How do you function? Seriously, is this like, has there been a Slaying Demons episode where they sit you down and say, listen, Jocelyn, you have a problem. Now I will use the A word and be totally super serious, even though I have a smile on my face. That's really late. So like, have you found that it's affecting your other games like Hearthstone, Warcraft?
Warcraft, definitely. Oh my God, definitely, yeah. Warcraft. Hearthstone, I still play because I play Hearthstone. It's so much it's a more casual.
Game. Yeah.
It's well, yeah. I guess you could call it that. I don't play when I'm in the bathroom, but I know plenty of people that do. But I can kind of like, I wake up, I play it with my coffee. I find it really relaxing, and it kind of like it warms my brain up almost. And so I can sit here with my coffee. I can play a few games of Hearthstone. It kind of like, it's how I start my day, I guess. So, and because it is so relaxing and I can just, you know, play as many or as few games as I feel like, it's more of a part of my everyday routine. Warcraft, on the other hand, Warcraft is just so large. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I have four characters now at 110. I have a couple more characters that are somewhere in and around the kind of between 100 and 105. Like, characters that I kind of started through Legion, got them their artifacts, like, things like that. So, when I log in to play one character, I feel like I've got, like, maintenance to do on all of them, and that's not necessarily a great feeling. Warcraft, I mean, 7.3 has been great, but Warcraft has kind of lost a lot of its, like, shiny funness. And I think it's just because, I was actually talking to Garrett about this, I think that's just because I really like the questing experience and I like the story. But when you no longer have much progression and when you feel like you are the head general, most important character of everything, along with, you know, the five million other players that are currently playing. But when you feel like you are the center of the story, it becomes not as interesting, because I'm not interesting. You know, like, Sylvanas is interesting. Garrosh was interesting. Like, Anduin and Varian are interesting characters. I want to hear more about them. I don't want to be the center of my story. So as we get bigger in Warcraft, I'm starting to fall off of it a bit. But I'm also starting to do a lot of the stuff. Again, I'm falling back on old content because there's just so much of the game I didn't experience because I was, you know, 7 years late coming to it. So there's a lot of stuff in there that I've never done. But because it feels like so much of a chore, I'm pretty much, until this last week, I was pretty much only going in and doing the bare minimum I needed to basically not let my raid team down. But I wasn't playing it nearly as much. What I was doing in my spare time was jumping out of a plane and playing PUBG. I'm up to almost 80 hours now, I think.
Oof. Yeah.
That's and it was like, it was 50 hours when we talked about this last week.
Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me that that game has really taken off for a lot of folks, because it, even for me, I noticed that it's got that special sauce where it's like the games are, when you're dead, it doesn't give you, it only gives you the hanging on moment if you want it. And that's only when you're in squads. Like, if you die, you watch your teammates, you're still invested because your team is still in it. But when you die solo, you just load the next game.
It is the epitome. Like, I thought Hearthstone was bad for the just one mores, but PUBG is the epitome of the just one mores, because you get the, even when you lose, you get the crazy adrenaline rush because you're either, you know, fighting or flighting, one of the two, and then your game ends, and so you want so much more. Like, with Hearthstone, it's like, sometimes I win and I kind of have that feeling, but it's nowhere near as intense as with PUBG, right? Damn. And so because you've probably just lost, there's a chance you could have, there's a 1 in 100 chance that you just won that game, but, you know, you more than likely just lost, which then gives you a feeling of like, oh my God, if I had just like done this one thing, then I would have lived and then I would have done better. So I should just jump right back in now because I just learned a lesson. I know what not to do next time. Go, 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 go. Which makes it the perfect game to play for 3 or 4 hour long stretches, because you just don't realize how much time is passing. So yeah. I have been up much later than I should be playing PUBG, but I've also been having a lot of fun. And the flip side of that too is another thing that that Warcraft used to pull me in with, was that all my friends are playing. Now all my friends are playing PUBG, so if I want to play games with my friends, I don't log in and run dungeons. It's been like pulling teeth trying to find people to run dungeons. Yeah. But if I say, like, all right, putting out the bat signal, who wants to PUBG? Before you know it, we've got two squads ready to go. Like, everyone is dropping everything to go and play this game. So it's super fun, and it's pushing all the right buttons in terms of, like, the chemicals in my body it makes me produce that make me just want to do one more over and over.
That's a weird way of describing it, but it makes sense.
It makes my adrenaline flow, right? Like, yeah.
Well, we played
the chemical thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. We let's double down on the chemicals. We played last week for game night, and it was a lot of fun. I think you guys kept going. I went to bed. And you guys kept going, and there was some moments that
I think we went till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh my God, it was so good.
I know, and I saw the clip of you shooting Josh and that, the aftermath of that, and that sort of spawned some good memeage.
It felt so bad
on Twitter over the course of the weekend. So I was really happy about that. I've actually, and we're going to talk more about PUBG and some other another game that's been in the news. With a similar gameplay format, but it's got a good platform or a good blueprint there for something great. I think they just have to be careful adding to it, because I think the bonus of PUBG is that there's one map. It's like Dota, you know, Dota 2. There's one map. You know exactly what you're doing to go in. The only variables are the randomness of getting the weapons. I think if you add another map to that, I'll be curious to see how that affects people's enjoyment. Obviously, folks will get used to both maps, and it'll reset to zero, and they'll be happy when they get a different map loading up. But I think that initial shock of the unknown, because I was playing with Blanche and Adam, and they're like, "Oh yeah, let's go to Rakipnik," and I'm like, "Oh okay, where's that? No, let's go to the Isle of I'm making these up because I don't remember. It was like the island of Shirty. I don't know." There was an island, I can't remember what it was called, but they're like naming off these places like they've lived there for a semester, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening, I'll just put a pin down and I'll see what I can do. And oftentimes I would land, you know, a kilometer away from them, but that game's a lot of fun. I wish I had more time and focus to play it, because again, like any multiplayer games, like, there's no progression, there's no story, it's not really pulling me in. But you're right, playing with friends is what makes it a really fun experience. And sometimes you need that. You need to put aside the campaigns, the story, the progression, and just have a little fun. My favorite part is the complete opposite of most people. My favorite part is the scavenging. If I can make it to the very end with like a full decked out character, I'm fine dying. I don't care. I had a full deck. Good to go. That's my favorite part about it, is collecting stuff. Near the end, I'm usually just the dummy that gets shot first, right? To let everybody know that there's bad guys around. That's my job. I'm the dinner bell, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not very good at shooting people, so.
Well, and that's kind of, so that's what's been pulling me in, is like, because I have this drive to get better at the game, then I've been kind of like putting myself, whether it's like going in solo or playing duos, I've been putting myself in like more combat centric positions. Like if I know people always jump, you know, school, and there's going to be 20 of the 100 people are going to go to that one location, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to learn combat, and I'm probably going to die right away, but I'm going to learn to shoot with a pistol, and I'm going to learn to shoot with a shotgun. And then, you know, like the more things I find, I'm thrown into combat situations right away, which is something I usually shy away from, which then gives you kind of like a false sense of achievement. I think it was Hachikumo in my chat room the other night when I was playing PUBG. He said, like, you know, yeah, you might make it to the top 10, but do you really think that you are like the 10th best person in the round? The answer is no. I just managed to be super, super sneaky. When it actually comes to shooting people, if I don't fall on top of them with my shotgun, I'm probably not going to kill them.
Yeah, that's me as well. I think when we were playing last week, we were, you know, usually top 10 every round, because I think you've got that gameplay loop down where you're slowly making your way towards the end, and everybody else is just taking each other out. But that's a solid strategy as long as you can stick the landing. And I think, having played the, I would probably say, 3 or 4 moments, events, like where I come in and I play like a couple hours with friends, I've won once, came in second twice. And that's usually because you have a solid strategy to avoid being killed by the, you know, 20, 50 other teams. But you can't quite stick the landing because someone just got a better weapon and is able to shoot it. Like, I can't shoot worse shit.
Well, and each gun in that game is very different, right?
So yes, yeah, and it's hard to tell.
They take a lot of getting used to. Like, I mean, okay, last night I found what is considered the best gun in the game. I was on the roof of one apartment building across from an enemy, and I must have used all 30 rounds of my ammo in this like super powerful sniper rifle. It was the mini, guys, if you're curious. It was just added to the game recently. I think I hit him, like, maybe twice. Definitely didn't kill him. And I was just like, damn it! Like, why am I so bad at this game? But had I had one of the... if I had had, like, an M416 or something that I'm used to shooting, then maybe I would have killed him. So, there's so many different things to learn in PUBG that, like, it is quite a steep learning curve, which is why the game that I've been also playing a lot of right now, I'm just going to jump right into it. We'll get back to the kind of controversy between the two later on, but I have now, and I know, Ryan, you got in to play a little bit of it too, have played a bunch of Fortnite as well. Mm-hmm. Because they just added this week, I think it actually came out yesterday, they added a free early access, which is a huge, huge deal, because up until now I was curious about Fortnite but hadn't had a chance to actually get in it, because it will be a free-to-play game, but right now it's being offered for, I think, $40, $60, $80, or $130 packages as like early access founders packs, basically, right, that give you different bonuses in game. So I haven't actually played it yet. I was interested in it. I know, Ryan, you played a little bit of it because of Zombies Ate My Podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was interested in it, but I hadn't actually gotten a chance to go and play it. So now they've opened up a free Battle Royale mode, which is very, very similar to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And so they have now opened this up for free. You can go and download it right now. So I gave it a try, and holy hell, it is like the best advertising for Fortnite that they could ever think to do. Because it's a game mode that I already really enjoy. It's kind of got its own spin because you can build stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like it's using their in-game cartoony mechanics, their very polished product, like all that stuff. It's built on top of what already seems like a super fun game.
Yeah, that's my first impression on Fortnite's Battle Royale is that, holy crap, this is straight up Battlegrounds. Yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of examples out there of gameplay formats being perfected and then duplicated mm-hmm. across many modes. One of those that comes to mind is Horde mode in Gears of War 2. It's the four-player co-op against waves of enemies. And that was duplicated in Halo and Call of Duty, just across the board. And
Mass Effect, which is one of our favorite multiplayers of all time, was Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3. And that's the great part about video games, is that there's this, this carbon copying that happens everywhere. And usually there's this extra layer added on top to make it their own spin. And with Battlegrounds, with Battle Royale, I think the biggest, thing they add outside of the crafting and the building and sort of the exploration and that aspect is the fact that the game actually looks really good. One of my biggest complaints about Battlegrounds is that it feels a little rough. I remember I described it as a kind of an up-res 360 game with a better draw distance. And that's, what it does, though, what Battlegrounds does is that it provides this gameplay loop that is really, really fun. And they've nailed that side of it. And graphics aren't everything. And honestly, if you had a really, really good-looking game, less people would be able to play it because of hardware requirements.
Exactly.
You look at Fortnite, and it is a very aesthetically pleasing game. It's very cartoony. So again, if you're more into the realistic side, like...
Oh, yeah, like, it's night and day. And I don't want to get too much, because we are going to talk about this later, so I don't want to get too much into comparing PUBG and Fortnite, but Fortnite reminds me a lot of WildStar. There's no, like, crazy alien stuff, but just the kind of character design. Like, I feel like they could be characters in they could be the humans in WildStar, for sure.
Yeah,
it's that same kind of big, chunky, cartoony character design, I think, and aesthetic in general.
And the cool part about Battle Royale that you would be a little uneasy about is that, yes, this is a free-to-play game. It will be, the whole thing will be free-to-play, the PvE version as well, which is, just filled with microtransaction stuff. Like, you talk about spending $40, $80, $100. And to its credit, some of those entry levels do provide you with extra copies, so the value sort of like is present, but it is still expensive for a game that's going to be in 3 or 4 months free to play. But nothing affects your battle royale. That is free to play. You can download it. You'll see the buy button for everything else, but you can access battle royale no problem. Nothing you do in PvE affects your PvP. It's all separate. Now, I personally would have liked to see my cosmetics come over.
And that's something I feel like, because everything character-wise is random. I did look it up after, because Ryan and I attempted to play. They just added squads. So Ryan and I attempted to play, and the servers weren't really working. I had no problem going back into solo after you dropped out of the party, by the way, Ryan. So I think it's probably something, either there's not enough people playing squads or they're having trouble with the servers. Either way, I had no problem doing solo, and so I looked it up afterwards, and all of your characters just randomly generated each time. Right. So you just get a random choice of character. So I'm sure all that stuff is going to come. This is all still early access, as for that matter is PUBG. So I feel like there's a lot of things that they could improve in Fortnite, but I found that I enjoyed the combat more in Fortnite, and I don't know if it's because it's cartoony or if it's because it gives me feedback. Like, I can actually see when I hit somebody with a weapon how much damage I've done. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't tell you that in PUBG at all. So I found within my second round in Fortnite, my first round in Fortnite, I came fifth. pretty much just I didn't see anybody until I died. which is actually really funny, because the island itself seems a lot smaller, and yet somehow I didn't see anybody. So I guess I just picked a really, like, because I'm not familiar with the map. I'm not familiar. I didn't even know what the weapons were when I first got in there. I'd never done any building. I'd never done anything. And then I came fifth, and I was like, what the hell? So but I'm sure that's because I'm familiar with the gameplay loop from PlayerUnknown. So anyways, the actual combat, which I got into in my second round, I was getting kills, like, in my second round of playing this game. And I feel like it's because I had that feedback. I knew how much damage I was doing, so I knew when to keep fighting and when to run away, which I don't know in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So I felt like it just instantly, like, clicked with me. I liked the cartooniness of it. I liked the simplicity of it. It almost feels to me a little bit like Hearthstone and Magic. You know, like, PlayerUnknown is super, super complicated. It's super realistic. You have to find add-ons and attachments for your guns. You have to find very specific ammunition and stuff. Like, in Fortnite, one of the great things about it is, like, it's very, very, very easy to jump into and start to play. It's like, here's a gun. It takes small bullets. There's, like, small, medium, large bullets. There are small, medium, large guns. Like, go. And if you find a sniper rifle, it just has a scope. You don't have to scavenge for all the other little parts, which I really, really liked, which meant I could, when I wasn't focusing on scavenging, I could be like, oh, cool, I found the gun I want. Nice. All right, let's go shoot some people. And I could jump right into the combat part of it. So, I mean, you could hunker down and build yourself a structure, which is also very, very cool. Or you can kind of go on the hunt, and everything just feels a little bit more immediate. And so I really, really enjoyed, to the point that I even messaged Nicalia, who I've been playing, she's on my raid team. I've been playing a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds with her. She's super, super fun. She also discovered Battle Royale in Fortnite yesterday, and she was, like, trying to convince our whole, like, raid team that we should give this a try, and everyone's like, no, PUBG, no. I'm dying on this hill.
I put my $40 into this.
Yeah, and she's like, no, it's really, really fun. And then so I messaged her, and I was like, oh, dude, this is so good. We need to play more of this. This is so fun. Wow. So, I mean, like, I think it has some really solid, like, aspects to it that make it easier to jump into than PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So I really do feel like PlayerUnknown is much more down the line of, like, Magic, where it's complicated, high barrier to entry, lots to learn, but still fun, and a similar gameplay to Hearthstone, which is pretty easy to jump into and, you know, easy to understand, complicated to master, all that kind of stuff. Because the other cool thing that Fortnite does is it lets you watch the person that killed you. So you can basically spectate the whole rest of the match if you want to. You can exit anytime you want to, but you can actually watch somebody. So I found, like, after my first match, I watched it right all the way to the end. And then I actually saw the guy that killed me. Man, he was good. He was like building ramps up the side of mountains and then deconstructing behind him so he still had materials. And then he was like going around and like, you know, breaking down a wall of one thing and then going up another thing to try to see if there's anybody in there. And I was like, dude, the tactics, this is insane. So yeah. I felt like I was able to learn something in the, you know, 10 minutes that I watched the round finish. And then, yeah, the guy that killed me ended up being the one that won. So I was just like, man, this is super freaking cool.
Yeah, the thing for me, I played a bunch of solo before we tried the duo stuff or the squads. And when I was playing solo, I found that my gameplay loop was like, okay, I'm going to do what I do in PUBG, going to find a town. Usually there's no one else there. And if there are there, I can avoid them pretty easily or take them out if needed. And I found because it's a smaller map, if you're going to the towns, there's a lot of people there. But the way that they've distributed loot throughout Battle Royale, there's a lot of stuff everywhere. And the we talk about how PUBG is
that's the
very...
other thing. There's treasure chests, which was so cool.
Yeah, yeah. PUBG is very rooted. This game, they've said, well, people are going to want to go to these like little mountain areas, these little hill areas, and find like a campsite. Because the PvE structure of the game is zombie apocalypse, you know? Right. So that has then been ported over to Battle Royale with the fact that you might think, oh, that hill's not going to have anything. But then there's like a campsite and a little treasure chest, and the game has these audio cues of what's around you. So if you walk into a camp and you hear a glowing sound, which I know sounds weird, but there's the treasure chest is there.
It's this kind of musical hum because at first I had no idea what it was. I thought it was like somebody had set a trap or somebody was coming to kill me, or like I was just super like scared. And as I was kind of walking around, it was getting louder and then quieter again and louder and quieter. And I was like, what is going on? It was just like, I was like, huh. And then eventually it was like up in the attic. So I found it. And then I was like, I found a treasure chest. This is so cool. I didn't even know these were in here. I also found a treasure chest in between like three random trees out in the forest. Like there is stuff all over the place.
Yeah. And the ability to like the crafting system, once you get into it, you can build some pretty awesome castles, you know, if you collect enough resources. And that's why I was curious about the late game with because I never got past like 50. I usually got killed before the first circle even, you know, closed in on itself. But I'm curious if in late game people are actually building. I want to see what the community does with these building structures to support end game, you know, because I felt like there's two folds to that. You can break into people's stuff, and I found sometimes like rather than going in the front door like in PUBG, you go through the front door, there might be someone guarding, but in this you can create your own side door, your own back door. If you know how, you can actually, you know, get underneath the house depending on how things have been structured, and that's exciting because this is new to this genre. This is not something that has been done before. And as someone who played the PvE side of it, I hope that a lot of folks see Battle Royale and then think, huh, if this is just, you know, their PvP mode or one of the PvP modes, I wonder how the PvE works. And the PvE is a lot of fun, has a lot of scripted voice and cuts, or not cutscenes, but a lot of scripted voice, a lot of really well put together gameplay loops with in terms of your defending and your attacking and your building bases. They really build it up really well, and I think that sets you up for the best part of the game, which is the building. Battle Royale doesn't really encourage you. It's there, but it doesn't say to you like, hey, you're gonna have to build to survive. And that's the key part that is missing from the community, because right now everyone's playing like, oh, this is a free to play PUBG, so I'm gonna play it. As I was playing, I just noticed a lot of folks
there was a lot more building the later in the game you got, the more building there was for sure.
Good.
But and there was one the thing you were talking about, making people interested in the PvE. I think I mentioned that earlier too. Like, holy crap, dude, I was so excited once I actually got in and got to try it, playing a mode that I was already familiar with and that I already knew I liked the gameplay loop. Once I actually got in and tried Fortnite, I was like, wow, this is actually a really aesthetically pleasing world. I really like this. The building is way easier than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. It looks super complicated any other time I've looked at it, but it's actually really easy to switch between things and build. So I was kind of like, oh man, like now I'm super interested and actually considering like paying the, you know, $40 or $60 to get in on this early access and, you know, have a few little extras that come with being a founder and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. because the game is cool and fun and different. And I like mm-hmm. the building aspect of it. So, yeah.
And if you have a group, like in PUBG, if you have a group of friends or any multiplayer game, you have a group of friends that are playing, it's sometimes fun to switch up the gameplay. And like, rather than facing real world opponents, you can progress through the PvE story. And I know like $40 is a high entry, but I really do feel like they're, you may not see it this way. A lot of folks might not see it. I don't even see it this way, but they kind of line up the value for that $40 package as like, maybe a quarter of this is your entry ticket, but the rest of this is like compensation. You're getting mm-hmm. loot boxes, you're getting boosters, and you know, I'm not necessarily defending the way that they've set this thing up. They've got to make money to support development, and that's what they're doing, but they're giving you, I'd say, probably 75% of that money back in in-game stuff.
Yeah. And in-game bonuses, right?
Yeah, like, bonuses. Yeah. They're not like giving you like straight up weapons, and that's the cool thing about Battle Royale, is that you literally get in there and you can try everything. The aesthetic, the shooting, the guns, the map layout. The only thing they're not giving you is, and the building for that matter, the only thing they're not giving you is the zombie gameplay.
Right.
You're not getting that defense style gameplay, but honestly, I think for most folks,
which is it's kind of unfortunate because part of me really wishes that either one, either PlayerUnknown or Fortnite, just any of these battle royales, if I could die, if there was like a zombie mode and I could die and then either control myself or control a zombie, or even not even controlling it, but just like if my corpse got back up and became mm-hmm. one of the zombies, so that by the end you've got, you know, like three survivors and 97 zombies wandering around. Like, I feel like that would be a really cool mechanic in and of itself. Like,
yeah.
The more people die, the more zombies become part of the kind of like landscape. I think that would be super freaking cool, but
it wouldn't surprise me if Fortnite did that almost immediately. Like before the end of the year, we're gonna have, I know PUBG has like a custom zombie mode, but I really do believe that Fortnite's they're a bigger company. I think they're gonna really push this mode now that it's actually, you're right, you nailed it when you started the conversation, it's kind of the best advertising platform. They put the game, when they announced this mode, they put the game on sale. I think it was maybe 25% off or something. Mm. And they probably sold more copies full price from launching Battle Royale than they did with that sale.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's early access. It's, you know, some people are like, I'm not going to touch it till it's done. They've clearly stated it'll be out in 2018. Yeah. I can wait 3 months. But I think most folks are like you in thinking like, you know what? I've gotten a taste. I like Battle Royale. I want to keep playing it, but I also want to see the meat of the game. And really, the Battle Royale is just sort of like the side dish. Like, the PvE mm-hmm. stuff is,
it's like the icing on top. The meat yeah. of the game is, or the cake of the game.
Yes.
Is, because who puts icing on meat? That's weird.
Duh, you know what? It's the internet. It's probably been done.
Probably. But yeah, so it's the majority of the game is behind, quote unquote, behind the paywall, although you do get sure. your full Battle Royale mode for free. But yeah, the rest of yeah. the game, the PvE content, is behind a wall. So I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are going in and trying it out now. And I mean, we're going to talk about it as our topic of the week this week, mm-hmm. but the controversy and the fact that this huge, huge, huge game in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is complaining about how similar Fortnite is. Yeah. I think is actually like it put Fortnite back on my radar. I had no idea if PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds hadn't said anything, I would not have known that Fortnite had a battle royale game at all.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that was a little bit, if their intention was to, I don't really know what their intention was, but what they did was they gave somebody else publicity and pointed me, a fan of their game, in their competition's direction. So mm-hmm. maybe a little bit of a misstep there, but we'll talk about it later.
Sure.
Before we do, I want to hear about Metroid.
So we talked a bit about it last week.
Yep.
I played a little bit. I've now almost finished it. I think I'm right at the cusp. I've got like 7 more Metroids to take out. You know, building on last week, some of the stuff that I've experienced since then, there's a lot more. There isn't a ton of variation in the Metroid sub bosses, but there's been enough. I've started to encounter different ones each time I fight one, which is nice. So they're not necessarily different, but they're different variations. You know, you got the flying one, then you got the, you know, the floating. It's so hard to describe them because they're all so different, but they all have this same mechanic where they kind of swoop down at you, and then it uses the melee you know, counter to kind of, you know, get some licks in. But I've been digging this game. It's awesome in terms of just finding power-ups and then realizing, oh, I can use that power-up to get into this other area. I did encounter a new sub-boss Metroid, which ended up, you don't use your melee counter, you actually use your grapple beam to like pull them off the ceiling as they're like crawling around. Kind of like, I was going to say Alien, but probably better to say, you know, female Diablo kind of alien looking thing.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like crawling around, it's like shooting acid and fire at you, and then all of a sudden it like camps up at the top, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to take this thing out? And I guess this could all be considered spoilers, but this is something for you all to look forward to if you're playing the game. It just sort of camps at the top, and then it's got this, like, in Nintendo fashion, this big glowing zit on its back, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? This thing isn't taking damage. Then all of a sudden I realize, like, all right, red zit. That's the grapple point. So I just grapple and like yank it off and then just start feeding it missiles until it dies. It was very satisfying. And I think just the exploration of it, it's been so long. Well, I shouldn't say that because the next game we're going to talk about is kind of similar to this, but it's been a while since I've played these exploration games where you can kind of, this one isn't laid back by any means because there's a bunch of enemies constantly stalking you. But it's just been so long since you've given that grid-based map and you just got to like explore and hunt down Metroids. And it's been a long time since I've played a Metroid game. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed that it's on 3DS. I know we've had this conversation before, yep. But you have these beautiful systems sitting in front of you and you're playing on your 3DS and you kind of think, what if, you know, and I get it. The 3DS is still a system that people are enjoying. But at a certain point, you see the nice and shiny that you have on the Switch or on the PC or whatever, and you're kind of yearning for this gameplay style on the Switch. Mm-hmm. But by any means, if this is the swan song for the 3DS, I think it's actually a very proper game. I'm glad that they squeezed this one out on the 3DS because it is really good. It's a really good Metroid game, which is funny to say because we haven't had one in like 10 years. If not mm-hmm. more. It's been a crazy long time. But I don't know. Have you ever played like a Metroid game? I can't remember if you had dabbled in Metroid.
No, I haven't. No, Metroid's not my thing.
Yeah, so it's one of those games.
I did watch a friend of ours like mm-hmm. basically like speed running it because it was one of his favorite games ever.
Oh.
I can't remember exactly which one, but he came over and was staying with us for like a week and I was working and obviously Matt was working, so we were just mm-hmm. he was just kind of hanging out, and so I came up one day and I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just playing through Metroid again. This is like my 30 something playthrough.
Oh, wow.
I was just like, but don't you just like know it now? And he's like, yeah, so it's my favorite game, leave me alone. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's probably
like, do you
want to
try like the Switch? And I'll, oh yeah, super, yeah, that's what it is. Yep.
Yeah, that's there's been this trend of, you know, them remaking Metroid games, and the one Metroid game they haven't remade that could possibly need a remake is Super Metroid, and everyone's a little nervous because that game is considered to be perfect. It's one of those weird things for the SNES where it's a system that people are nostalgic for. It's been long enough that, you know, it can get remakes, but 16-bit was kind of like people consider it to be like perfect. I think if you go back and, you know, this is gonna be sacrilege, but if you go back and play it, a lot of those games weren't perfect. I think that the 2D sprites that we have that people are building now obviously are a lot better. But I think a lot of folks look at, you know, Super NES as being almost you know, this heavenly experience, like Super Metroid especially. People are
that's
nuts.
Why it's so exciting that yeah. it's coming out on Friday.
Right. Yes. So the Super NES is coming out on Friday. That's crazy that that snuck up on me. I don't know about you, but I was able to pre-order one, and then it kind of like disappeared.
Went out of your mind? Yeah.
No.
It didn't go out of my mind.
It did not go out of my mind.
Trying to get it.
Because not only do I have, I know you haven't been really bothering me about it, but I have a few folks that are like, so like, when are the pre-orders going up? Like, how do I get one? Do I have to wait in line? Because I could wait in line, but can you get me one? And I'm like, whoa, slow down, Tiger. Like,
who do they think you are?
I don't know. I think it's honestly, it's
maybe
not...
it's because you talk about and praise Nintendo so much. Everyone just assumes that you're like some sort of like on the payroll, like no. Nintendo shill or something.
No.
They're just like, clearly Ryan's got the ins because no one would be so like much of a Nintendo fanboy.
My credit goes where it's due, which is the Amiibo Canada subreddit, which is an awesome subreddit for here in Canada, and they track everything. It's not me, it's those folks that are just refreshing constantly. And then I have notifications set up from their Discord, and their Discord updates when new posts go up, and usually they tag everyone when something goes up. So the reason I know to pre-order things is because they are telling me. So again, like, you two you people have the same tools that are available to me, and you don't have to be in Nintendo's back pocket. I'm certainly not. Lately, but yeah, it's just,
well, you say that, but I have gone to every pre-order site you have sent me to, and I have yet to be successful. Most of the time the servers just crash.
Yes. And you know what,
so, which means I will be lining up on Friday morning attempting to get myself a, although you did say that the supply chain apparently is supposed to be what, like 50 units per store or something?
So there's talk that Toys R Us is going to have, and this is Canada, I think that in the States you're probably looking at better stock in the States, but it's looking like, EB has said that they're going to have walk-ins on top of the pre-orders they took. They're going to have, and they talked about, like, this was a big number, but they talked about having 500 units available at midnight online. And I'm like, 500 on your website for a national chain does not sound like a lot.
Like much.
So that's probably not your best bet. But Walmart didn't take pre-orders. There's talk that there's going to be at least 50, at least 50 units per store. They're going to go
which
online.
Which is exciting because I live in a fairly small town. So I'm really excited because we do have a Walmart. We don't have like anything else. We don't have a Toys R Us. We don't have an EB, but we have a Walmart.
Yeah.
So Walmart's I'm crossing my fingers that they'll let me get more than one, because I have a couple of friends down in the States who have been totally unable to get their hands on a pre-order as well. So I'm lining up for all of us.
Yeah, I'm hoping, personally, I'm begging, I'm doing the online thing. I have to work on Friday, so, well, work in between trying to get some of these for friends, but it's, there's talk that, Amazon's going to put theirs up, and this is Canada specifically. The States, they're going to have a different situation because they did more pre-orders, but you're probably looking at initially seeing, stock sell through. And that's going to cause a lot of confusion because Nintendo said they were going to have a lot of these systems. But they have announced that they're going to be shipping them into 2018, which is an extended schedule from what they originally said they were going to do. So I might as well just say it. It's my brother, my older brother, who really wants one of these. And he didn't get the NES Mini, and he was heartbroken about it. And I said to him, like, you know
me
what?
Me too. Like, there's we're a like lot kindred of, spirits.
I know. And so I said to him, I said, do not spend... He'd be sending me links for like, it's only $300. I'm like, don't spend $300 on this.
Scalpers.
I know. Too. And if it's not scalpers,
don't encourage them.
Exactly. It's not scalper. And if it's not scalpers, it's people who are creating them custom and then saying 500 games, way better than the NES Mini. And then some of the reviews are like, broke in 2 days. This sucks.
Yeah.
So I said to him, just wait. And, the NES Mini is coming back next year. And that's kind of stopped him from at least wasting some money. But... he really wants one. I said to him, it's like, all right, you go line up on Friday. I'll try to find one online. And I'm sure between the two of us, we will be able to make this work. and Nintendo, hopefully, there'll be some positive news on Friday that people were actually, my hope is that eventually between now and the end of the year, I'll be able to walk into a store and see one on shelves. And that to me is a success story, and But it's kind of hard to see that happening because honestly, I saw a Switch in the wild for the first time like last week.
Yeah, I've actually been hearing people saying that they finally have seen Switches on shelves, and that was like, what, March was the launch of the Switch, and it is now pretty much October.
Yeah, and you know, the Switch is a lot more advanced and a lot harder to manufacture. There's a lot more parts. Mm-hmm. The Super NES Mini or the NES Mini is kind of just a plastic shell, a board, and some chips, and you know, and then the controllers. But and that's a layman's. That's the best I can do to explain it. But yeah, I think we're gonna have better options this Friday. Honestly, next week it could be the polar opposite conversation of Ryan got one and Jocelyn didn't. Hopefully that's not the case. No.
What is this, 2016?
And you know what? I might. I haven't gotten a shipping notice, so it probably won't even come for Friday because that's how usually things roll. Which
then
would
be awesome because then I can be like, ha ha, I have one and you don't. Ha, ha, ha,
it's true.
Even if it lasts for like 2 days.
Stop. Hey, I had 7 months or 8 months or however long it's been since the NES Mini came out. You can have 4 days. It's fine. But I think that I'm looking forward to it. It's got good reviews. It looks really good. But yeah, I think I'm hoping that there's going to be a lot of stock. There's talk that a lot of stores are going to have, you know, a good walk-in amount. Now, that walk-in amount across the board for North America, you're going to have to line up. You're going to have to get there before opening. If there's more than 15 people in line, you're looking dicey. I've probably been encouraging folks to at least show up like an hour before opening. But if you showed up at opening, I think most stores, especially Walmart, the big box stores, which has a lot of like real estate, they're doing ticket systems just to encourage folks to not run to the back of the store through a busy or through a store that's, you know, being stocked by early shift folks. So get there on time, get a ticket, walk to the electronics because if you have a ticket, you have one. That's what they're there for. And just be very nice to the people who don't really understand what you're doing at their store so early. That's the biggest advice you can have because...
Damn, my Walmart opens at 7 a.m. That means I have to be there at 6?
Yeah,
but I'm just not going to go to bed on Thursday night. That's it.
That's not a good idea. What did I just say? Be nice to the people. If you don't go to bed, think of how lovely you'll be.
It's just practice for extra life. That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. I haven't been able to stay up past midnight in about a month. Extra life is going to be interesting.
I can't imagine why that would be.
I'll have to start training. Montage.
Yep.
I'm just staying up late. I don't know why I'm pretending to... I don't know. Anyways, yeah, Super NES. It's
coming.
It's going to be here.
Yeah. You played one other thing this week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but you've been playing it for a couple of weeks now. Steam World Dig 2.
Yes. Okay, so... SteamWorld Dig 2 is a sequel to probably one of my favorite surprise games that I just happened to pick up on the PC on Steam just out of nowhere. I've never heard of these SteamWorld games. I think this is the first one that they did, and it blew me away.
I don't even remember you talking about it previously.
It was a while ago, so I mean, honestly, it might have just it fell into the ether of the many, many games we talk about on the show. But SteamWorld Dig was one of those games where it was kind of a mix between Dig Dug and Metroid, sort of. So it's kind of got that exploration and that progression system where you're unlocking powers and you're upgrading your equipment with the money you get. The basic gameplay loop is you go into the mines, you dig down and you kill enemies and you find jewels, and you have a limited amount of space of jewels you can carry, and then you find these teleporter things to go back up to the town and sell your stuff, and then you go back down and you continue. Obviously, there's some story in there to kind of pinpoint you, like to send you places. So, for example, in SteamWorld Dig 2, you play the original game's niece, I think. I don't know. They're robots. But,
some sort of relation.
Yeah, the robots. I think they're just, maybe they share the same motherboard. No? Okay. anyways.
It took me a second, but then I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Knee slappingly good, Ryan.
Dad jokes. Anyways, so So anyways, you're playing as this related robot, and you're the protagonist from the first game's gone missing. So you go to this new town to find your friend. They've seen him, but they say he went into the depths of the mine, and they haven't gone that far yet because there's been all these quakes and it's causing some disturbances anyways. And that gives you an X on your map to dig down and try to find your friend. And the game progresses from there as it sends you to different areas in the map, sometimes differing from the first game. Sometimes it sends you to other areas, so it makes you travel east, travel west, dig down from there, and then you're going into different areas like a lava temple or a forest, sort of jungly underground area with vines and stuff. Unlike the first game, where it was just different shades of brown, you know, it was different shades of dirt.
So they expanded a little bit on their environment.
Yeah, they've done a really good job at taking the first game and making a proper sequel. And honestly, it's just been awesome. It's been a really good experience. I finished the game, and you'd say like, oh, that sounds like it wasn't that long, but no, it's pretty much all I've played since I got the code last week, and it's been just 8 hours of just awesome fun.
Cool.
And it's very laid back. That's the difference between this and Metroid Samus Returns, is that when you're playing the game, and I'm playing on the Switch, by the way, so I've been playing in docked mode, I've been playing on the TV as well, and both are fantastic. And it's just relaxed, you know, when you're digging down, you know, unless there's an enemy like right in your face, you kind of just, you're laid back, you're relaxed. And as the game progresses, you unlock more weapons, more upgrades to your equipment that then give you extra perks for finding collectibles and secrets. So there's a lot in this game, and the story is kind of your typical, like, trying to find this person. In trying to find that person, you discover more people, and those people appear to be good, and you're working with them, and so on and so forth. But there's this mysterious bad that you're not really sure what it is, and that's sort of the driving force behind the character moving forward. It's been a lot of fun. And honestly, if you have a Switch and you're looking for great indie games to have at the ready, downloaded on your system, SteamWorld Dig 2 is kind of just a great addition to your library. It is available on PC, Steam, and PS4. However, I don't know this for certain, but I would probably look across the board at these platforms, and if you line them all up, I'm pretty sure the game would be the same across all three platforms. Mm. The difference being, on the Switch, you can take it on the go. And it is a very good pick up and play. Oh, I gotta go change a diaper or get breakfast ready or something. You just hit that power button and you put it down. You know,
don't have to worry about connectivity and multiplayer and
it's a great pick up, play 2 minutes, put it down. And honestly, there's always a good checkpoint system where you can either, you know, dig down to the nearest portal to jump back to town, or if you just shut it off and you don't know where you're at, you just look at your mini map and say like, oh well, I'll just keep digging down, or I'll look for the X. There's only one point in the game where it gives you multiple, you know, quests to do or multiple tasks, but honestly, even then they're so finite and put in specific locations that you're never going to get lost. You're never not going to know where you're going next. But yeah, no, if you don't have a Switch, honestly, it's still worth picking up on PC or the PS4. Because it plays...
But not Xbox, so...
It's not on the Xbox.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't...
I would expect it to be, like, maybe Switch and PS4, but then not PC. Like, the fact that it's available on PC, but then not available on Xbox is very, very weird to me.
It is, and you know what? I don't think any of the SteamWorld games are on Xbox. I was just doing a quick search, because honestly I don't want to be wrong about this. But it appears to be only PS4. Now that's the thing, is like the guys who, it's an indie game. Most of their games started on 3DS, and then they would build out from there. They would come to PC, PS4, and then they would come loop back around to the Wii U. In this instance, the game launched first on the Switch, then a day later on Steam, and then a day later on PS4. But no Xbox One version. But frankly, I think those three platforms probably hit a majority of folks. And it's a smaller indie game. It's going to play on any piece of hardware, no doubt. Mm-hmm. If you have a PC that can run most current games, you'll definitely be able to run SteamWorld Dig 2.
Very cool. Maybe I'll actually check this one out. Sounds interesting. Sounds like a bite-sized type experience. You said it was like, what, eight to 10 hours?
Yeah, and that's trying to beat it. Like, if you're just kind of looking to get in there and play like a couple rounds and see what the gameplay loop is like, you're probably looking at 15 minute chunks of time to get in there and play. And, you know, progressing through quest lines, probably looking at maybe an hour, half hour to an hour and a half per quest to kind of like progress the story a little bit. And, you know, there's fun. It's kind of tongue in cheek. Everybody's a robot except for, you know, well, everyone's a robot. And then there's some other stuff in there. I don't want to spoil it. But in terms of the robots, when you're talking to them, they just have this really fun, tongue-in-cheek sort of like way they talk. It's kind of they're very self-referential.
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. Yeah, it's not serious at all. It's very comedic. And your little sidekick, which appears to be this like floating, glowing bit or something. I don't know what his deal is, but he's got some... some great dialogue as well. So it's
very cool.
It's very snappily written. It's good stuff.
Awesome. We're going to take a second now to thank our patrons. You can head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin if you would like to support the show. This week we have a new patron. It is the Josh. Thank you so much for supporting the show, man. We really enjoyed playing with you on Patron Game Night last week. We also have an ad this week from Simon. It says, Weekly News Desk is a podcast all about the geek news this week. Join your two knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. You can find them on iTunes or at weeklynews.com. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is very unhappy with Fortnite's Epic Games for essentially, the original press release that went out made it sound like they were pretty... just generally ticked off that Fortnite was making a copycat version of their game. So that was the original controversy. And then I believe Bluehole reached out to PC Gamer to kind of clarify the press release, because it really did sound like a stomp, stomp, stomp. We do Battle Royale. No one else can do it. They are copying our game. Blah, 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 blah. We are mad. But I think it gets a little bit more complicated than that. Although, despite any of this controversy, there was a fairly big launch of Fortnite's game. They said they had 1 million players in their Battle Royale mode on day one, which is hugely successful, I think. Oh. I mean, I don't know how many players they have like in Fortnite just generally right now, but 1 million players in their Battle Royale mode day one seems pretty good.
Yeah, no, 1 million players for any free-to-play game at launch, especially when there was the $40 to $120 price tag attached to it beforehand, that's pretty good, and that's actually probably more than they could have ever hoped for, and I think you kind of see that in the PR releases for Fortnite. And, you know, in terms of Fortnite, you know, responding at all to this PR nightmare that Bluehole is now having... I haven't seen anything from Epic, haven't seen anything from the Unreal Engine side of Epic. They've kind of just been ignoring it. So I think when you look at the PR side of this, Bluehole has made a huge mistake. Then they try to correct it a little bit, which was sort of like, it wasn't digging down, it wasn't digging up. It was kind of like just digging a side tunnel. Like they didn't really, they probably should have not done that, but...
So, okay, so the clarification that they came out a little bit later to clarify their press release and fleshed out their concerns, and I actually kind of agree with the, I guess, secondary concerns that they expressed or the clarification that they gave. Basically, what they said is that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Bluehole are licensing the platform they use to build their game from Epic. So... what their argument is, first of all, is that Epic used their brand, their game, everything else to market Fortnite and basically came straight out and said, you know, oh, do you like PUBG? Well, then come and play our Battle Royale mode, blah, 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 which does take some, like, there were some parts of the game where I was just like, whoa, okay, yeah, this is like straight up PUBG. They didn't even try to hide it, including like the circle that comes in on you. Like, I mean, I've got Fortnite artwork behind me in my green screen right now, and they have this like big purple storm. Even the little icon says like, oh, storm coming in. But then when you actually see the wall approaching, it looks like they ripped it right out of PUBG. It is like a blue electronic looking wall sort of thing. And it looks just like, it doesn't look like a purple storm at all. It looks like the wall from PUBG. Add to that that you parachute down from a bus, which is basically the same idea as PUBG's plane. You come to a random spot from an island, and chat room right now is mentioning King of the Hill from H1Z1, and I've got to say, I didn't play that, so I don't know. I can't draw comparisons to how much PUBG might have ripped them off. But the point is, there are a lot of parts of Fortnite that are very reminiscent of PUBG, but then you've got the Fortnite skin over top, you've got the building mechanics that PUBG doesn't have, you've got all the combat mechanics that are different, plus you've got the gun system that is different and appeals to a player like me who doesn't come from any sort of like background where I would potentially know what bullets go in what kind of guns or what the differences between any of these guns are. So it's a much more simplistic system. But basically, Bluehole said that they were working with Epic because Epic owns the engine. So they're providing Epic with, like, because they're going to be closely working on basically making the engine better for their game, they are providing their, essentially, like, their manpower and their brains to improve the engine. And on top of that, they pay a licensing fee to Epic. So they're essentially saying, we're doing all the heavy lifting and then also paying for the license. And as like PUBG gets more and more popular, we pay Epic more and more money to use their engine. So we're kind of doing it twice. And then Epic is the one that's actually going to benefit from this because now they've created a battle royale mode using this engine. So they're essentially using us and getting paid by us at the same time to improve their battle royale mode. Which is something I agree with, and that's where I say, okay, you know what, Bluehole, you've got a point there. This is kind of sketchy. You do not have a leg to stand on when it comes to, you know, like saying that you invented Battle Royale because you didn't. So, like, saying they're a copycat, whatever, get over it. Like we talked about earlier, even Horde mode in multiplayer has been iterated on a bazillion times. Like, you can't say you invented a mode in a game.
And funny enough, Horde mode was made by Epic in Gears of War 2, and, you know, they didn't stomp their feet. Now the thing is, this has actually happened, something similar to this has happened before, the difference being that the game that was having this issue was a terrible game and ended up failing in courts. But basically, Silicon Knights, Too Human, they were trying to make this game on Unreal Engine, and they ended up suing Epic for the fact that they couldn't get the proper support. And they were fixing the Unreal Engine and weren't getting support from Epic because Epic was too busy making their own games on their own engine. And they failed miserably. The company shut down. They did not do a good job at trying to go through the courts with that. But you look at this scenario and you think, okay, from a point of, you know, taking, you know, PUBG's gameplay, that only takes someone to actually play Battlegrounds. Because most of the stuff that's lifted doesn't look like tech. It's mainly like it's gameplay loop. It's aesthetics. It's the setup. It's copy and paste for the most part. And that is blatant and doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the connections. But in terms of Bluehole's arguments that they're improving Unreal's engine with their manpower, it's like it's middleware. Like, you chose to use Unreal, you chose to pay the licensing fees. The fact that you're more popular now and having to pay more was in the contract. You signed it.
Well, the thing. Like, we don't actually know what the contract says. Like, I mean, did Bluehole actually read all the fine print? Do any of us read all the fine print? Like, come on.
You can actually go and look at Epic's, Unreal. Because Unreal is open to all folks.
It is,
You can see the actual terms that most companies, I would assume, sign with, especially indies. When they're looking to make a game, they look at the thing and they say, okay, you sell so many copies, you pay so much money. And, you know, I'm not saying Bluehole has that specific, you know, contract, but it's probably something along those lines. Now, you know, in terms of saying, like, you working with Epic to improve the Unreal Engine, like, that's, again, just working with a middleware company in terms of like, hey, we found that this made the engine run better, which honestly, if you told me PUBG was an Unreal game, like I've seen Unreal games that are way better in terms of tech specs, you know, like Unreal is used so many different games.
The specific thing that they mentioned was essentially building a back end that was able to handle an area that size with the number of players in it or something along that. There was something about the 100 players playing in the iteration of the island that was basically, I don't know if you can call it their idea or their back end tech or, you know, whatever it was that they did for Epic and for the Unreal Engine. That was specifically the part that they were talking about as an example of something that they came up with, they worked on, they, you know, had the support of Epic to do, and then they kind of turned around and Epic was like, we're going to use it now, ha ha! And they were like, wait a minute. Feels bad, man.
No, that actually is a really good point, in that if they did the work and they put it back into the Unreal Engine saying like, hey, commit this to your code, this actually works really well, and the you know, the Epic guys go in and they did this. And this is the other thing, I think there's a misconception in the world that the people making the Unreal Engine are the same studio that are making Fortnite. It is the same, you know, it is the same studio, but it's not the same people. They're two different teams. There's an engine team and then there's the Fortnite team, right? And sure, they converse from time to time, but I highly doubt like this conspiratorial, like, oh, we helped them with this mode, and then the engine guys went over to Fortnite and said, hey, you're looking at, I hear you're looking for that sweet PvP mode. Well, listen to this, you know, like, I'm pretty sure by this time next year, a lot of games are going to have the PUBG side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have that mode. And I know, like, that's not what they're doubling down on with their second statement. It's the engine thing, but... And that sucks. And hopefully, if it's true, Unreal looks at this concern and says, like, huh, you're right. You did commit to that. Maybe we pay you some sort of fee or cut you a break on the licensing. I think that would be the right thing to do. But it's...
Yeah, right now, they really seem to be focusing on the launch of their game, which I think is fine. And as far as I can understand, this was more like a shot over the bow by Bluehole, like a, okay, we know what you're doing, we're pissed off, we don't like that you're using our game to market your game, maybe, you know, just check yourself. And because it says they essentially might pursue further action or something like that. It was very much just a press release to say, we've noticed what's going on, we don't like it, we're not a fan, we feel like you are taking advantage of us, and, you know, it is what it is. But as far as I know, they haven't, you know, pursued any legal action or anything against Epic, if they even could. So until then, I think Epic is just focusing on making their own game great. And like I said earlier on, I had a lot of fun playing it today. So
yeah,
good on you, Epic.
Yeah. And that was, you know, we just played today. Like, you know, today's gameplay compared to the 80 plus hours you have in Battlegrounds, it's hard to say whether Epic even, you know, implemented that tech correctly. Like, who's to say the 100 players aren't? It is still very early. I would say Fortnite's Battle Royale is much, much earlier than
Google's. it's literally like 24 hours old now.
Yeah, exactly, in terms of a public release. And and the thing that I think the biggest thing that a lot of people are looking at this and saying, well, this is why they're so upset, is because Battlegrounds has made such a huge deal about it coming to the Xbox One, and it's not there yet. And Fortnite launches their Battle Royale for free on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC today. Like, free. Yeah. You can go download it on any of those stores and play right away. And that cannot be said for Battlegrounds. But Epic's a much larger team. And it would just be... It would be interesting...
I was going to say, Bluehole mentioned that too, basically team size. And I think that's why their argument for the fact that Epic is kind of using their resources is basically because Bluehole say, like, we are a small team, and Epic and their whole marketing of the Unreal Engine itself are supposedly on the side of smaller indie developers, giving them good license deals, you know, doing all this stuff. And then now PUBG has taken advantage of that you know, goodwill towards small indie companies, and now are finding that since they've blown up in their popularity and they have so many players and people streaming the game and everything else, that now they feel they're being taken advantage of by this larger company, because obviously their licensing fees have gone up as a result, which they, again, like you said, Ryan, they would have expected, they would have known that was going to happen, but mm-hmm. still, now they're paying a whole bunch of money, they still have a small team, and they're like, Epic is taking advantage of this on top of that. So I feel like maybe there's some sort of licensing deal that could happen here, that, or like you said, like give them a bit of a break on the fees that they're paying to use the engine. I think that there could be a deal to be reached here. Again, and that's without knowing the actual legal contents of the agreement between the two companies, right? Like, there could be a clause, like, there's a clause on the back of your, like, amusement park ticket when you walk through the gate of Disney World that says, if we take a picture of you, guess what? You're advertising for us now. It could literally be the same thing. If you use our engine, guess what? We can use the name of your game in any of our promotional material. There could be a line like that in there. We just don't know. So,
yeah, I just wonder
And I'm sure there probably is, because I've seen, like, ads for, like, Unreal Engine that say, like, here's the games that have been built with Unreal Engine. Like, I'm sure that just that's built in, baked into their licensing agreement. It would be silly not to, really.
Yeah.
if you're the maker of an engine that's being used by a lot of indie companies, you want the ability to use their name should it blow up to advertise. And maybe it said advertise your engine, or maybe it said anything by Epic Games. Who knows? But I'm sure that clause is in there.
Yeah, I'm just curious what... Now, the PC Gamer article is vast. It's actually an interview, which is awesome.
Yes.
But I'm curious what Bluehole wants in it. Obviously, they don't want, you know, Battle Royale to disappear, because that's not going to mm-hmm. happen. Do they want, a clarification on... You know, in my mind, if you're helping... If you're taking middleware and you're improving on it, and then saying to the people who made the middleware, "Hey, we did this; it's really good. What do you think?" And they decide to commit that, like, I think that part of the engine can then be used by anybody. Like, are they going to go after? Like, yeah, it's Epic Games; they can kind of stomp their feet and hold their breath. But what happens if another indie developer uses the Unreal Engine and the same tech to make a similar game with a different mm-hmm. spin? Are they going to go after them and be all kind of, you know, I'm going to be honest, a little pissy. Like, you know, they've calmed down a little bit, but originally they were just a little frustrated, you know, you could tell. And I'm curious to see whether or not they're going to throw a fit the next time this happens, or the next mm-hmm. time. Because Epic did it first, like, you know, I remember when the original, you know, release went out for Battle Royale, they had said that they had this in testing since the early summer, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not something they just kind of like farted together, because it's actually quite solid.
I was surprised, given that the whole game is still in early access, and the mode itself is literally 2 days old. It was super solid. There was no crazy, weird, glitchy stuff like mm-hmm. there was the first, you know, few weeks I played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and Tombstone in the chat room is pointing out as well that there's still major problems with the way the game works on the back end. There's, you know, memory leaks. It's a beast to run, like all the kind of issues. There's server issues. There's lag issues. There's just all kinds of jankiness in that game. That they haven't been fixing. So, I mean, I was surprised that Fortnite, when I jumped in and played it, was so polished. I was just like, damn, this is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what they do next, because, again, with Battlegrounds and with Battle Royale, it's mm-hmm. going to be interesting to see both of those games. You know, they're going to compete. They're going to have to compete. And it's going to be interesting to see how they trade blows and how they progress.
Bluehole did say that they were, quote unquote, welcoming competition in the market. I don't know how sincere that was, but they did say that they welcome competition and that there are going to be other people who are going to try to do this same game mode. And it makes all of them better, which is kind of, yes, the way competition works. And then that's where all the clarification came from. So we'll have to see how this progresses. We'll have to see, you know, as more and more people start to do these battle royale type things, who succeeds, who doesn't, and who pisses off Bluehole. But one way or another, that is what is going on in gaming this week. We have a patron ad from The Geek Review. Ryan, do you want to take it away?
Sure. Let's read this here review. The Geek Review is a podcast. I was looking at the interview. Is a podcast that reviews everything and anything for an honest consumer review. The Geek Review can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Discord, and at thegeekreview.podbean.com. Go give it a listen.
I thought you were going to say go lick it because you made a really weird sound there for a second.
It was close. Yeah, I don't know where lick it came from, but don't lick it.
Just go like it on Facebook.
Solid.
Yep.
It's like when you trip and then you go into a roll and then you just snap back up and you're like, mm-mm.
With that. You can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken for Azeroth, Embrace the Spoilers, and Heroes Forge. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on youtube.com/AMOVE TV. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about the controversy between Blue Hole and Epic Games, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Night, everyone.
We're going to have to start thinking about what we're going to do for episode 300.
At some point.
Apparently it's coming.
We should just record an episode 300, and that's all we should do.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know if we should do anything special. Every 50 episodes, we try to do something new. It's been six times. It'll be six times.
Maybe our something new should just be doing nothing.
Yeah. So we took the week off. Episode 300 doesn't exist.
No pressure if it doesn't exist.